DMR Properties LLC seek a variance from the front yard setback and the rear yard setback requirements for a proposed structure, sections 115-82, 115-183, and 115-185 of the Sussex County zoning code. Property is located at the west side of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, approximately 851 feet north of Bay Farm Road. The 911 address is not available. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 234, Map 23, Parcel 180, and 234, Map 23, Parcel 181. They're seeking a 6.58-foot variance from the 60-foot front yard setback requirement and a 10-foot variance from the 30-foot rear yard setback for the proposed building. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Good evening.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt, local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. And I'll take my mask off in a second, but Mr. Sharp, if you wanted to swear in the two witnesses here, then I'll.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Robert Aronson, 221 West Rockland Road, Monchanan, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Right.
Mr. Davidson, can you state your name and address for the record?
Mark Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And while you're sitting down, Mr. Hutt, do you have any witnesses that are going to be online that we need to talk about either?
I do not.
All right.
And as a housekeeping matter, Ms. Lepore, would you mind if we had, or if there's a second mouse that we could control? Thank you.
Important person, Mr. Hutt. Ms. Lepore ceded control of the mouse.
We promised not to do anything untoward with it.
Late Monday night.
That's the booklet, but there was a PowerPoint presentation, but which is shorter.
Might have mocked it.
It might have been my fault.
We have it on a flash drive too, if that's easier. I don't know where that would go. See what happens when we take the mouse from you, Ms. Lepore? All sorts of bad things.
Yeah, probably because I had the mouse before. I probably think I screwed it up. So just
let's go over here. Who's got the mouse?
Great.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for that. I think I messed it up earlier.
And Ms. Norwood, we already have that in the record.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we had that already. We don't need to get copies of it or anything.
I think we have all the those finer details out of the way. As I indicated this evening, I am representing Rojan LN 21 LLC, which is the applicant and now the owner of the property. That is the subject of tonight's application. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the location of this property as it's situated along Route 24 in the busy Long Neck corridor of Route 24. With me here tonight, as you heard a moment ago when they were sworn in, is Robert Aronson. He's a principal of the applicant. And then I think a familiar face to you, the other individual who was sworn in is Mark Davidson, the principal land planner with the Pannoni Group out of their Milton office. The property that is the subject of tonight's application is comprised presently of two tax parcels. You can see there's a line on the screen that shows where that boundary line is. And as you can see, there's also a little note on it that says proposed to be abandoned. To help orient people to the location of this, if we could go to the third slide, Mr. Davidson, that slide, thank you. If we were to start at the very bottom of the screen, and you can't see it, but the nearest intersection starting down there would be Bay Farm Road. And if you're familiar with Bay Farm Road, that is the road that leads back to the peninsula. It's also the location of a Harris Teeter and some other commercial entities. So if we travel north on John J. Williams Highway, right before you get to our property, or what forms the southern boundary of our property, is a commercial establishment. I think it most recently was Kickin' Chicken, that location, their Long Neck location. Of course, then you have our site, and as you continue to travel north on Route 24, you come to where just to the left of where the cursor is. That is a Dollar General store. And then you can see behind the Dollar General store is Cadia Healthcare Renaissance. If you were to continue traveling north off the screen to help orient everybody, you come to Tidemark Federal Credit Union, and then you come to the Wawa that's there, and there's a series of shops and restaurants that are behind that Wawa. And as you travel closer to the intersection along Route 24 with Route 5, you of course, there's a Rite Aid that's also by the Wawa. When you flip sides and move to the eastern side of Route 24, sort of across from Wawa, of course, you have McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts, and there's the shops, and there's a WSFS. There's the shops that are behind Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. And then as you come back, right now we're right to the edge of the screen where the cursor is. Those are actually the gas pumps for the Giant grocery store that's in that same complex. Sort of off screen to the right would be the Giant supermarket itself. As you travel further south, that is the car wash right there by the Giant. And then again, if you continue down south, eventually you come back to Bay Farm Road, where there's the Harris Teeter and some other shops located there. There were exhibit notebooks, and I know they're part of the supplemental packet of information, and we would ask that they be made part of the record. Tab 1 in the exhibit notebook is just a copy of the application itself for your ready reference. Tab 2 was a series of maps, including the one that you see on the screen here, showing the orthophotography of the site, as well as the zoning in the area. And then there's some deeds and plots that we will talk about that demonstrate how this unique situation was created. As you can see on the aerial image that's on the screen, the property is presently unimproved. Both of those properties are unimproved. And if we can switch to the zoning map, Mr. Davidson, thank you. As you can see on this, the properties are highlighted, and you can see that they have the bright red color, which is the county's C1 general commercial district. It's now a closed district in Sussex County. Immediately to the south of this property, you can see the pink area where I indicated there was the commercial structure that was Kickin' Chicken. That's the county's B1 neighborhood business designation. Immediately south of that, the sort of maroon red, we'll call that, that is CR1, and that's that was the replacement for C1, even though that in and of itself is now also a closed commercial district. All of the light tan that surrounds this area is the county's general residential area. The yellow represents MR, which is medium residential. And then you can see towards the north end of the screen, you can see that's the area where the Giant was and the other areas that I described with respect to Dollar General and Acadia Healthcare Renaissance. The setbacks in the C1 district, I know the board's familiar with them, but starting from the front of a lot working to the rear, the front yard setback in C1 is 60 feet. The sides, as you go towards the rear of the property, are 5 feet each. And then when you get to the rear of the property, the setbacks are 5 feet. Of course, there's a footnote in the code that talks about what happens if a commercial property is adjacent to a residential property. And in that context, the rear and side yard setbacks are changed for commercial property, and they're changed from 5 feet on the side to 20 feet on the side yard setback, and then the rear yard setback is changed from 5 feet to 30 feet. And so with that, with those setbacks, as you can see, as you saw from the aerial imagery, there is residential both to the north of this lot and also behind it or to the west of this lot. And so the boundary line, or I'm sorry, the rear yard setback, of course, along where Mr. Davidson has the cursor is not 5 feet, it is 30 feet. And then on the northern side of the property, because there's a residence located there, that side yard setback is not 5 feet, it is 20 feet, but there is no variance that's sought from that tonight. The variances that are sought are along the rear boundary line to reduce that 30-foot increased boundary by 10 feet down to 20 feet, and then the front yard setback to reduce that setback from 60 feet by a total of 6.58 feet. I wanted to explain to the board tonight, because I think it's useful and instructive, how the property came to be in the situation that you see before you right now. These lots along Route 24 were created by a subdivision of Elisha Steele in 1952, and a copy of Mr. Steele's subdivision plat was included in the exhibit materials. And if you looked at that, you would see that Mr. Steele created 75 by 150 foot lots. There's a row of them on either side of Route 24. And these lots were created specifically tonight. We're here talking about Lot 6, Lot 8, and Lot 10 of the subdivision Mr. Steele created in 1962. As we all know, Route 24 today is a busy corridor, and certainly much different than it was in 1952 when Mr. Steele created this subdivision. In fact, DelDOT classifies all the roadways in Sussex County, of course, with various designations, and Route 24 or John J. Williams Highway here in this area is what's called a major collector under DelDOT's designation of roads. As you know, this commercial corridor serves, of course, the growing residential area of Long Neck, but also the greater Sussex County as well, as Route 24 is one of the primary east-west corridors in the county. In 2017, DelDOT was seeking to expand the right-of-way width for Route 24, and in doing so, acquired the first 26 feet of this property, both of the lots that we're talking about. And you can see in the image shown on the screen where Mr. Davidson is highlighting, that is the 26 feet that DelDOT acquired from these lots, which of course means that the lots went from being 75 by 150 to 75 by 124. Since that time, a number of efforts have been made by the prior owner in particular, attempting to find a way to develop this property. And of course, the initial thought was, well, there's two lots, so hopefully there's a way to develop two things, two obviously being more significant than one and would have a much better return. But of course, with the narrowness and shallowness of these lots and the size of them, it would not be feasible for there to be an entrance onto each lot or even a shared entrance from which they both went off of and still allow a building, a commercially viable building, to be constructed on those lots. And it's not, of course, just the narrowness of the building envelope. You can see the narrowness of the building envelope on those images on the screen. But as a property owner develops a commercial site, as the board is aware, there are a number of other considerations that come into play, including things like stormwater management, and significantly for tonight's application, entrance and exit off of the highway, and then safe maneuverability within the property itself. And so as part of this process of trying to figure out a way to develop the property, a number of iterations and layouts were developed over time, and none of them were viable. And as those iterations came to pass, it became clear that two things needed to happen. One, the lots were going to need to be combined, and that is a condition that the applicant proffers and would suggest that if the board acts favorably on this application, that the board require that as a condition that the lots be consolidated this evening. And the other thing that became clear was that in order for there to be safe ingress and egress and internal movements for customers, deliveries, and staff that would work at a commercial establishment here, that a variance would be necessary in order for that to occur. And in fact, you can see on the screen that there was, in the bottom right-hand corner, that there's a 15-foot permanent easement that DelDOT has that extends even further into this lot. And you can see on the note that it says that there's a 15-foot permanent easement that it was hopeful it would be reduced to 5 feet pending DelDOT approval. I can report that DelDOT has approved that reduction to 5 feet because it has the additional right-of-way that it took along Route 24. It has approved the reduction of the 15 feet down to 5 feet, which means that the drive aisles that serve the parking places in front of the proposed structure will not have to be altered as they may have had to been if DelDOT had not approved that. As you can see, this design places the building close to the commercial building on the other property, and this was done because there's a commercial building, that formerly Kick and Chicken building on the southern boundary line, but it also, of course, keeps the building away from the residential property on the northern side where the entrance would be located. And if we can go back to the aerial image, you can see that this same layout and concept where the building is in the, I'll call it the one corner of the property, and the entrance and parking and turnaround is in the other, is a very common commercial scheme. If you look at the Dollar General building, just two lots to the north, we're obviously a smaller scale than the Dollar General building. But that is the entrance comes in. Now, they have the good fortune of not having to have the entrance on their property. Their entrance comes off of Cadia Healthcare Renaissance. But that is the same commercial concept. And I point that out just to say that there's nothing radical in this design that's being attempted. What's being attempted is virtually identical to that, just on a smaller scale, obviously a smaller lot, and setback further with the entrance being right on the lot. As I indicated, tonight's application does seek two variances, a front yard variance of 6.58 feet and a rear yard variance of 10 feet. As the board is familiar, there are five factors for the granting of a variance that you've reviewed with the applications that preceded this one. And the first of those factors is whether there are unique physical circumstances involving irregularity, narrowness, or shallowness of lot size or shape, or other conditions that are peculiar to the property. And the uniqueness of the property is its shallow depth. The shallowness was created when DelDOT acquired the additional 26 feet of right-of-way. And you can see in the images that are on the screen that are being highlighted by Mr. Davidson, the impact that acquisition by DelDOT had on this property. The second factor is that the property cannot otherwise be developed and and that this variance would be necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And it is necessary because of the missing 26 feet when DelDOT acquired this land. The 26 feet that DelDOT acquired represent, as a percentage, approximately 17% of the overall depth of the site. So if you start with 150 feet and now we're down to 124 feet, that's 17% of the site. And that in and of itself, you may think, well, that's 17% is a significant reduction, but you have to think about the impact of that on the building envelope for this site. When the site was 150 feet deep, the building envelope for this property had a depth of 60 feet. Because there's a 60-yard front yard setback, and because there's a residential area in the rear, there's a 30-yard setback. So the total of the setbacks was 90, and the difference between 150 and 90, of course, is 60. So the building could have a depth of 60 feet at that point. With the 26 feet that was removed, we now have 124 feet total, but the same 90 feet. And so when you subtract the 90 from the 124, now the building could only have a depth of 34 feet. So essentially the building envelope was almost halved. I think the math would come out to 44%. But the building envelope of this, the depth of it was halved that occurred when DelDOT acquired this additional 26 feet of right-of-way. As the site plans that were on the screen showed, due to this reduced building envelope, the property could not otherwise be developed. And certainly I think the first question that one of the board members may have when I stop talking is, it looks like there's area to expand the building, to make the building skinnier and expand it towards the north within the building envelope. And the difficulty with that, or the problem with that, is that you lose the turning radius from the entrance to come in and exit the property. And so this is less about size and more about shape and configuration and being able to have a commercially viable building that has an appropriate entrance and exit. And as I indicated, there was a meeting with DelDOT on Friday where they approved that reduction in right-of-way, and one of the notes from the minutes of that meeting indicated that this configuration would work, and excuse me, note and explained that part of the importance of that is that, of course, you can't have cars or vehicles or trucks backing out onto Route 24, creating an unsafe condition. So a vehicle, whether it be a truck or a car or a delivery van, that enters the site needs to be able to turn around within the site and be able to head face forward out so that there is no backing out movement onto Route 24. Of course, we all live in Sussex County and know that backing out onto Route 24 would most likely be a disaster. The third criteria is that it's not created by the applicant, and the applicant did not create the shallowness of the lot. Of course, that occurred in 2017 when DelDOT acquired 26 feet from the front of both of these lots in order to be able to expand Route 24 and provide a greater roadway for the John J. Williams Highway. The fourth factor, as you know, is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. When I began my presentation, I talked about the uses in the area and the commercial nature of this section of Route 24 and how this, both the zoning of this lot and the proposed commercial use is consistent with those uses. I didn't previously review, although you've seen it on the screen several times, but I also wanted to talk about how this is consistent with the setbacks of the adjacent properties, what's being proposed. As you can see, the properties to the north, the two residential properties, the first one is approximately 42 feet from the John J. Williams right-of-way, or Route 24 right-of-way, and the one adjacent to Dollar General is 49 feet away. And with the proposed variance of 6.58 feet, of course, we're still another 10 feet further off of Route 24 than those lots. So we will still sit further back than the residential structures. And when you move down to our closest neighbor, which would be the former site of Kickin' Chicken, you can see that that sits 28 feet from John J. Williams Highway. And so as you can see, of course, we're another more than 20 feet to the rear of that. Of course, we recognize that probably the biggest impact to any of the properties in this area would be to the neighbors to the rear of the property, where the code says that because there's residential areas there, the setback is 20 feet, and it's 30 feet, and we're proposing 20 feet. And so that's the second condition that the applicant has proffered in order to be a good neighbor, is that if the board acts favorably on this, that the board would impose a condition not only that the lots be consolidated, but that a solid fence be required along the combined rear boundary line of those two lots. So there be a solid fence from one end of the rear boundary to the other. Again, that's not a requirement in the commercial section of the code, but in order to help provide, as the saying goes, good fences make good neighbors, and so to provide a break from those residential neighborhoods, the applicant proposes that fence as well. The fifth factor is that this is the minimum variance that would afford the requested relief, and as the site plan shows, and as I've mentioned several times, there was 26 feet taken when DelDOT acquired this additional right-of-way that halved that building envelope that I described earlier. And we haven't requested, and frankly, if the 26 feet existed, I wouldn't be standing here this evening because the building fits within that area. But of course, as the roadways are improved, that impacts things. But there's not a request here for 26 feet of whether it's in the front yard or the rear yard. The total is 16.58 feet, which does represent the minimum that would afford relief. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Aronson if he would step up here. Mr. Aronson, are you a principal of the owner of the properties that was just described?
I am.
And are you familiar with the application that I just presented to the board?
I am.
And you heard the information that was presented, and was it presented accurately, and what I said, was it true and correct?
Yes.
And do you have anything that you'd like to add to the board?
No, I think you did a fabulous job just emphasizing that conditions of the property almost require that we build the building the way it is. We're fortunate that it's a retail operation, that it's not going to have late nights, it's not going to have a drive-through or a squawk box or anything like that. It's pretty clean, simple use with daylight hour, mostly operation.
Thank you. And Mr. Davidson, I'm going to ask if you can come here. Mr. Davidson, are you familiar with the property and tonight's application?
Yes, I am.
And have you and the Pannoni Group worked on the design of this site?
Yes, we have.
And to the extent that I made statements about land use design and planning, for example, the ingress and egress and turning radii, was what I stated true and correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. For all of these reasons, the applicant would ask that the board act favorably on the requested variances and would, as is indicated, I think if you go to the first slide, Mr. Davidson, the two proposed conditions are shown on that. That concludes my presentation, and myself and Mr. Aronson, as well as Mr. Davidson, are available to answer any questions that members of the board, Mr. Sharp, or staff may have.
Questions?
As far as inventory being delivered, is it usually with a semi, box truck, or?
Semi truck.
Okay, and that's going to occur on the rear of the property?
Loading.
Yes.
And
when you say semi,
it's the loading area.
When you say semi, you mean 18-wheeler?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, we wanted to squeeze this in. We had the number of turning radiuses discussed and designed to make sure it could work before Sherman Williams would even consider the site.
Yeah.
And they were satisfied with the turning radius, and we moved the building around a number of times to come up with the safest, best way to make it work for the pedestrians, for the cars, for the customers, but also the semis.
Just thinking that I would think that would be the, as far as noise with the property owner to the rear of you, I mean, I would think that would be the biggest hindrance.
I have a retail store up in North Wilmington, and there's a Sherman Williams there, and they get pretty much one delivery a week. And I don't know what the full hours are, but I know this delivery shows up about 10 o'clock on like a Tuesday morning.
You say once a week?
Yes.
Roughly. What about, I mean, obviously you're going to be dealing with commercial customers. As far as large deliveries for them, would they be using that loading area also?
They generally go out of the front door, but I know that when you say large areas, in North Wilmington, they have a larger warehouse operation in Old Newcastle. Painters go with pickup trucks, go to their locations. Believe it or not, a huge amount of the business is housewives with their wallpaper picking out and picking out the colors and all that. And that's a big part of their customer base. But we're also building a proposed location in Georgetown, which will be a 10,000 square foot building. So if you're coming in with a box truck and you need the big gallons and you're picking up 50 of them or 100 of them up, they're not going to send you to this location. They're going to send you to Georgetown.
This is less commercial, more
this is
homeowners.
More. This is a retail operation.
Gotcha.
I'm not telling you that as a wholesaler, if you got a big job, you're not going to go there. But if you're going for a large quantity, they're going to funnel you to the new location that is coming up to be discussed in Georgetown.
Gotcha.
Hopefully with no variances.
When did you purchase the property?
The end of 2021.
Okay. And when was the Del Dot, when did Del, what was that date again?
2017 is when the property Del Dot acquired that 26 feet from the prior owner. And that's actually, that this closing happened during the course of this application, because I believe as it's been advertised, it was actually DMR Properties, which it was the owner at the time the application was filed.
Sir, if you would come up one more, I got one more question.
Sure.
When you purchased the property, were you aware of this?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay.
And one other thing I would note, when I stated that there's been many iterations, and I'll ask Mr. Davidson to confirm this, the Pannoni Group was also working with the prior owner, DMR Properties, during that same time. So that's where the longevity of knowledge or the institutional knowledge about the efforts to try to develop this over time. And is that correct, Mr. Davidson?
That is correct. We've been working on this property for a while, and we've prepared many different types of site plans. We've even had some site plans submitted to the county for approval in the past.
I don't know what the steps are, but the entrance has already been approved?
The entrance has not been. What we have is we've had our pre-submittal meeting. That's the first requirement in getting a commercial entrance approved, is having that pre-submittal meeting. So Mr. Hutt stated that on Friday, we had that meeting.
Right.
And so our request for a reduction of 15 feet for the permitted easement down to 5 feet was approved at the pre-submittal meeting. The distance of having a 36 foot wide entrance at the for the entrance, a typical entrance, commercial entrance, is anywhere from 24 feet wide to 30 feet wide. We've asked for 36 to be able to safely maneuver vehicles in off of the future turn lanes. And again, that's what this entrance is indicating. It there's going to be the future aisles within the Route 24. So we're designing this entrance to meet what future improvements are going to be taking place out there. And as a matter of fact, DelDOT has indicated that we are possibly going to be, our entrance will be built as part of the improvements to Route 24 as they start to make these improvements.
So if the neighboring properties, I guess that's to the west of you think that this entrance will be used for access to those where you said that the chicken place was and some of them?
Not at this time, no. That cross connectivity was not discussed at the DelDOT meeting, but it certainly could be set up that way, but that's between the property owners to decide whether cross connectivity. But I believe the entrance to Kickin' Chicken or that particular commercial property has their own entrance at this time. So they've had to make their accommodations because, of course, 26 feet of their land was taken from them as well. And I'm sure DelDOT, when they do these types of improvements along these roadway systems, they do account for rebuilding entrances for existing commercial facilities.
It just seems like there's been an emphasis to limit the amount of access from a road like that as far as, you know, each individual property or business, to have each one to have access.
That does occur on a case-by-case basis, yes.
Any
further questions from the board?
Mr. Sherman?
I had one. Mr. Hutt, you had mentioned the, and I think you explained this, but I need to understand, the side setback to the southern property. It only has to be what you have projected because of the commercial next door, is that correct?
That is correct. On the southern boundary, because that's that commercial establishment, and I'm not sure Kickin' Chicken still has that location, that's just the last sign I saw there. but that's the because that's a commercially zoned property that's used commercially, 5 feet is the setback there.
Okay.
When you go to the northern side of the property, there's a house that's on the other side, and that's why there's a 20-foot okay. Side yard setback there. And how late it is. We actually considered the fact that the county has a provision about when there's things set back within 300 feet on the same side of the highway. But my reading of that, and Mr. Sharp can correct me if I'm wrong, is that generally I'm talking about things that are within the same zoning district, because the word district, it talks about the district. And because there's such a smattering of zoning districts along here, we have the C1, B1, CR1, and then the GR, it didn't make sense to try to average within 300 feet because they all have different front yard setbacks. So we looked at that. Again, there was a number of considerations that went into ways to try to minimize the variance, but it didn't seem like that provision would help, I guess, just to go into the thought process between the northern and southern sides of this.
Thank you. And thank you for the consideration of the neighbors with the fencing in the back. What's the allowable height for a fence and what that would be?
It's 7 feet per the code, but if it's commercial, it can be taller per the director's discretion for the commission.
Okay, thank you.
So to understand this is the way you explained it, if you did not back up to residential homes, again, to your point of the front, you wouldn't need this, you wouldn't need as much, if any, variance also.
That
kind of squeezed, it tightens your buildable area.
And from the Kickin' Chicken
side of that, the south part, the way, what's being described to me, I just want to make sure we're on the same.
The residences in the rear of the to the rear boundary of the property, we want to go to 20, but the code would say 30.
5 to 30, sorry.
And so, right, that it's a, there's 600% increase in that setback. But again, that's why, one of the reasons why we're proposing the fence as well. It'd be a good neighbor, but we recognize that what's proposed is a little closer than what the code says. And then the same situation exists on the northern boundary of the property, but we won't be interfering, you know, that'll just be some parking places and then the entrance. And if you go back to the aerial, Mark, the orthophotography, you can actually see on the Dollar General site, I know I used it before, you can see that because they have commercial on all sides, they were able to I don't know the exact dimensions, but I'm going to tell you, I think that's 5 feet from the rear boundary line and 5 feet from their southern boundary line, which is what we would do if it weren't for the fact that there is those residences that are back there.
But it also gives you a loading area.
And again, that's probably
10,000
square foot or 9,000 square foot Dollar General were
for. But you've created a the buffer with the loading area.
Yes.
Two things I was looking at on this, Mr. Hutt. Are there any steps, HVAC, ramps, anything like that, that also encroach into these areas? I didn't see it on the drawing here, and I just want to make sure that if there are any, that those are captured as well, assuming the board was inclined to approve this.
I'm going to ask my design professional to make sure of that. That's my read of the survey, but I'm going to, Mr. Davidson and Pannoni have been working on that design.
The HVAC will be on the roof, so the mechanical is up there.
Okay.
And no steps or.
I thought that may be the case with retail. We'll make sure that loading area didn't have a dock or anything. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Is there anyone present who is in favor of this application? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of this application? Operator?
At the time, there currently has no more.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the requested variances for case number 12654 to include the dissolving of the property line, was, I believe, the original request, the variances for the front setback, the rear setback, and would also put the condition of the fencing on the back property for the residents. I believe that there are unique physical conditions, that the practical difficulty, and thank you for working on the plan that you put forth to try to make it come forth, was not created by this applicant. Variance does not alter the essential character of the neighborhood and represent the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Hastings?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Corman?
Aye for the reason stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
And aye too for those reasons. So with a vote of 5-0, case number 12654 has been approved.
With conditions.
Thank you. With conditions. Is there any additional business?
No, I'll just introduce you guys to Mike Lowry. He's our planner three.
Mike.
Welcome him.
Mike.
You can see all their names.
I will mention this as the question did come to me earlier today. You know, we had to cancel our last meeting due to weather. Staff's actively working to reschedule those and has been in contact with the applicants for that. I think most of them are going to be on the next meeting, but I think there's a couple where there's some scheduling issues going forward. So those are still coming up. So just wanted to let you know that staff's worked on that.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.